Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
Well, I'm going to tell you a bunch about me. I, as a preteen and early teen, was a very big reader. I, as a older Norman, am still a very big reader. But that kid would read a book a day regularly. All kinds of novels that would take me on adventures far and wide. I loved books in every form. I still do. And I found calm in being surrounded by books and their musty library scent. One strange thing about being an early advanced reader was not always knowing how some words were pronounced, even if I knew what they meant. The English language is a bit unforgiving with certain letter combinations, and although I was smart enough to read a lot, I was clearly not smart enough to question my assumed pronunciation of words. Nope. I just went with whatever I had landed on in the first time I saw a word until I heard the word spoken and hopefully made the connection in my mind. Then I was smart enough to use the damn dictionary and figure it out. Yeah, that kid was very set in his ways. And so it is with great humility and a certain amount of shame that I reveal here the fact that I spent many years believing that the word spelled C-H-A-O-S was pronounced chouse. Reading books filled with heroes and villains, the word came up with some regularity. So the scene was utter chouse. The villain was hell-bent on sowing chouse. The chouse was overwhelming. Somewhere along the line, it dawned on me that hearing the word chaos was somehow related to the word I had gotten wrong in my head for years. And I hung my head. Flash forward decades, and chaos became a defining element of my life. Being an executive is chaos. Well, that's like glaringly obvious to anyone that has ever been an executive. It may also come as a bit of a surprise to people that have not been one. Being an executive is also often about making it seem as if there is no chaos at all. I am very good at projecting calm and cool. Except when it comes to every single possible situation outside of work. My wife and my kids can read me like a book, hear the attempt at regulation through breathing, see my face contorting beneath the surface, know that I am wrestling with chaos. As an executive, I invested heavily in being able to keep the chaos of the job hidden away. Even to the people who knew me best, they could never really see the real chaos happening behind the scenes. So this begs the question, why is being an executive chaos, or at least chaotic? Well, individual experiences will vary. But for me, it was because I became a living filter. filtering the discussions and decisions of the executive team and board to make them appropriate to my teams, seeing the lines on the charts, red or green, so many charts, that indicated how we were doing as a business, and trying to figure out what had to change, what had to stay the same to get more green, less red, more charts. Dealing with the harsh reality of dozens, sometimes hundreds of people that worked for me, and ensuring that they were getting what they needed to grow and thrive. Having colleagues change around me on a regular basis, and then having to recalibrate everything I might be doing to new expectations of a peer, boss, or subordinate. Being the one that people came to when there was a crisis, and knowing my job was to remain calm and help the company navigate the crisis. Being up on the stage and delivering good news, bad news, or even no news at all. Chaos. Well, maybe not. Maybe being an executive is not chaos. It's containing chaos, like a box that controls an explosion, or wrapping your arms around a kid having a tantrum to calm and control them. Being an executive is being a box filled with chaos that always appears steady and calm on the outside. When you contain this chaos for long enough, it may begin to become part of you. Some can leave it behind when they turn off for the day. Others, not so much. I am in the not so much group. Leaving my full-time role as a CMO, I was relieved to be free of the chaos. At least for a while. Then I began to miss it, even chase it a bit. Am I a chaos junkie? Perhaps. But we all need different fuel to do our best work. Most people contain some amount of chaos from their job or their personal life, but executives seem to gravitate toward situations where they can be the big box that holds the chaos at bay. Being a big box that conveys calm and clarity to others. And sometimes the box needs to be fully emptied and get a chance to air out. Sometimes we need to be free of the chouse for a beat.
Discussion.
One thing you brought up reminds me of another piece of wisdom that someone told me ages and ages ago, and we can debate the validity of this, but he said that one of the essences of leadership is being a duck, to harken back to our previous discussion of ducks and swans. In this case, the duck is the desired result, and that is being calm and moving confidently in a direction on the surface while you're paddling like hell underneath.
Yes, indeed. That is a metaphor I have heard and seen myself, and that I fully buy into and believe. And it's just another way of saying that we become a nexus for activity, information, other things, and we have to choose how we light up, how we glow, how we respond, how we let it all out. And my metaphor of being a box containing chaos is how I feel sometimes, right? That and I have to put it somewhere inside and use it appropriately, but show something different to the outside. And it's a hard thing to do, to be honest.
I believe this to be true, and let's discuss this for a minute. I would argue that it might be a little generational. Let me explain what I mean.
Please.
I think of our generation, which is for our listeners very, very young. Not really. We have some life experience, and we were raised by parents' generation in general. And again, I'm broad brushing this. I'm just speaking very generally, but I just have a couple of quick points I want to make. I'm not going to go on for hours about this. But first of all, we were joined, or we were sort of raised by parents who taught us to just kind of project what they knew how to do, right? Because just arguing again broadly here, their parents lived through the Depression. They were born around the time of some world wars or the aftermath of that, right? 40s and 50s. Then there was a lot of stoicism involved there, or just, you can just stand strong and you can take it and just be persistent and it will all be okay. And I think we've internalized a bunch of that. Now let me contrast that to, let's say, folks around my kids' age, whatever you want to generalize that as.
However old your kids may be.
Right. But let's say 20s and even 30s. They are more willing to express some frailty, talk about how they're going to therapy, be like, hey, I just really need a mental health day, things like that. I think my question for you, Norman, is
Yes,
do you feel like
Jeff.
doing this is healthy, and is there something that we should collectively learn to change about this?
That's a big question. So first of all, I get the generational thing. Here's something I want to say, though. I've seen in the past decade a massive resurgence in the popularity of the Stoics and Stoicism overall. And certainly in certain sectors, like a huge uptick in people reading the Stoic philosophers and adopting a mindset around Stoicism. Now, I just leave that there as a Norman's read some philosophy reference, or something like that. But I do think that there is some validity to the what do we reveal and how is it generational, and frankly, how quickly that cycle can turn also as we, continue to have a larger societal evolution about what's appropriate to talk about and what's not, and how will you be judged? And I think there's a big, massive impact of social media on this, and how people reveal themselves on social media, and what that all entails. And I think there's a big impact on how we were raised. And I fall into the category of a grin and bear it sort of upbringing. Grin and bear it, right? Don't show that you're unhappy or stressed. Grin and bear it. I don't think that's a good way necessarily to teach my children. And I also have children. Not as many as you, but I do have children. And I'm trying to teach them in a different way. And however, we're still in a world where eventually even the younger generation, my 20-something daughter, will eventually be an executive or not, but that generation will be executives. What will they do? How will they manage the chaos? Because the chaos is not going to go away.
I agree with that. And I think probably there's, the right thing to do here is to find a balance, as with so many other things, right? It's like being transparent, communicating well, doing all of these things, also being able to provide some humanity and at the same time providing some leadership. I think both you and I have had this experience, right? There is the need to show humanity, and at the same time, people really like to have some clarity, to have some guidance,
Yes,
to be
they
able to
do.
have someone, standing in front saying, I understand that there are many factors that go into pointing the direction, and I've been transparent about why I'm choosing this direction with you, and
Yes,
it's my role
right.
to stand in front and point and walk with you, and here I am. So I think
Yes,
that's exactly it.
and that I think is key. And I also think that part of Part of what I've learned and that I try to share with others is you have to be thoughtful about when you show what you show. And there have been times where I have revealed to peers, to people that work for me, that I am experiencing tremendous stress and chaos, and I will reveal a little bit of it. But I choose to do that because I think it's important or necessary. But there are many times where I have to remind myself that it is my job to serve as that filter. I use that word explicitly when I was speaking earlier, to use that, be that filter that protects people from some of the chaos. I think that is one of the jobs of a leader, is to insulate people from unnecessary distractions. And you become a container of chaos.
I like that a lot. And insulating from unnecessary distractions maps to one of the things that I talk about, being a good manager, being a good leader is, and it's ultimately how do I enable my people to do the best? I'm saying my people in a general way. How do I enable the people I'm responsible for to not have to deal with a bunch of the crap and just be able to succeed at the things that their role requires? And I think insulating them from the chaos is exactly the right approach. Right? And I did love that part, by the way, because I think many of us do have a what I call a reader's, it's a reader's vocabulary, right? Or I have a reader's pronunciation. And I was struggling to think, I know there are examples of mine, and I could not think of them as you were talking, but there are plenty of those where it's like, no, I'm saying it this way because I have never heard,
I've never heard the word, and
right?
so
I've
it
never heard it
clearly is
said.
chouse. And even as I'm saying this, Jeff, our handy little devices, electronic devices here, is in real time giving me is captions for what I say, right? Which is pretty much always on in Zoom or Teams for me, and it hears me say chouse, and it correctly says chaos on the screen. So it's clearly not just a me problem, but I'm with you. Like you see these words and you're like, okay, I'm going to sound that out. Yeah, and it turns out it's wrong, and you just have to sort of figure out like, okay, well, what's going to happen? I will, without revealing the person that told me this, someone told me that they. Spent many years when they were growing up, once they learned to read, trying to figure out what a zing was, Xing. And because they saw it on signs all the time. And they're like, what's a zing? Not, of course, being able to make that leap to, oh, it means crossing, right? What's a deer zing? We work in funny ways, and I am proud of the chouse that I may sow.
Well, this zing seems like a perfect place to sort of pause the discussion until our next episode. So, thanks everyone for listening. Please reach out if you have any thoughts, feedback, or kudos, preferably more of the latter. And we'll see you on a future episode. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.